So you've got a business, but what about a brand? The difference? More of you. Wix gives you the freedom to create your website, own your brand, and do it on your own, exactly how you envisioned it. Experience limitless customization. Boost your creativity and efficiency with AI tools for every part of your business journey. Scale up with built-in SEO, e-com, and scheduling features. Put more of you in your business. Go to Wix.com and do it all yourself.
Save big money on all lawn care products at Menards. Revolutionize your landscaping experience with our dig-free edging, a hassle-free solution that transforms your outdoor space effortlessly. Our innovative edging system is designed for easy setup without disrupting your lawn. Save today on all Mastermark dig-free edging at Menards. Plus, check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now.
Save big money at Menards.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
Here's a question. Could the Shannon Estuary hold the key to drastically reducing our dependence on imported fossil fuels and help us meet our climate targets? Well, to talk about all of this, we're joined by Pat Keating, CEO of Shannon Foyne's Port, and by the Green Party GD for Limerick City and spokesperson on transport, energy, climate, Brian Ledden. Good morning and welcome to you both. We'll start with you, Brian. What is the overall vision for the estuary and how it might contribute?
Good morning, Pat, and good morning to your listeners. The vision is that the west of Ireland would start to become a major energy producer, not just for Ireland, but actually in the decades to come, such that we would become an energy exporter as a country as well. Currently, we import about 90% of our energy in the form of fossil fuels primarily. There's an opportunity now, given the resource that we have, particularly off our west coast, so there could be certainly in excess of 30 gigawatts of wind power. There's an opportunity to begin to harness that in the next few years and decades.
How many gigs do we need for ourselves?
We're currently, peak demand is about 6 gigawatts at the moment.
So we could become a mass exporter of energy if there's a way to harness it and store it and then move it on.
Yeah, absolutely. It's something that has been perhaps obvious for a long time that this wind resource has been there. And I studied renewable energy systems 20 years ago and I would have looked at this and seen that opportunity. But it really, in the last few years, you have a convergence of the economics of wind and offshore wind and the technology as well, the developing of floating offshore technology. And that's what the big play for the west of Ireland will be.
Yeah. Now, we can talk about the timetabling of all of this in a moment. But the idea of the Shannon Estuary, it is on the Atlantic. I mean, the Atlantic pushes its way up the estuary. So that tells us about the linkage. What else makes it perfect? I mean, is it kind of storm-proof, more or less, the estuary?
Pat, might be better to talk about the particular conditions of the estuary, but it is a sheltered estuary, so it is deep water as well. It can take the large Panamax class of vessel, but you also have an industry cluster around the estuary. You have from Shannon Airport out to Money Point, Ahnish, Tarbert, Limerick City is on the estuary as well, so there's a cluster already there.
Which also means that the grid is well able to handle power because it's currently delivering power to those areas.
Yeah, you have, because of Tarbert and Ahnish and Money Point, where there are power stations, there's a very strong grid. There's two 600 kV lines going direct, actually, from Money Point right to Dublin. So we do need to enhance the grid as well, but we're at a good starting point.
Now, the Green Party is famously, though, against LNG as a transition fuel. And we know, you know, even with the best will in the world, we'll talk to Pat how quickly they could get up and running. And we know that Shell have pulled out of some of the offshore projects. In the meantime, how are we to manage?
We are going to use gas as a transition fuel. There's no question about that. The question around LNG is, are we going to build terminals to have more gas? And the risk with that, obviously, is that we would lock in the use of natural gas for the next few decades to come.
Not if you're getting free wind energy, because once you've built the infrastructure, it is, by and large, free.
Yeah.
So why would you be burning gas, LNG, if you have this great resource blowing up a storm out in the Atlantic and delivering lots of gigs of energy.
We can't do it overnight, but you have to remember that we're currently burning oil and coal and we need to get off those. So we've oil in Tarbert, and that station was built in the 60s. It's really well past its end date, and Money Point as well is on coal. So we have to get off those. And, you know, gas is actually cleaner.
I mean, if you look at Air Grid's website today, you can actually look at the proportion of wind and coal and alternatives, others, like including the bit of hydro that we have and solar, the little bit of solar that we have. Yeah. So sometimes the degree of coal burning is quite alarming.
Yeah, and it's certainly higher than we would like, but we are going in the right direction. So like just in October, for example, more than 50% across the whole month of October, more than 50% of our electricity came from wind. And on an annual basis, we're pushing 40%, and we're by 2030, and especially if we develop these ambitious offshore wind projects, we're going to be hitting nearly 80% of our...
But I remember one day we were becalmed, and I, out of curiosity, looked up the Air Grid site, and we were burning something like 30% from coal. Do you know,
it was quite alarming. We absolutely have to get off coal. And then the question is, how do we do the transition? And gas will play a part. There's no question about
that. So where are we to get that gas? Because like we know that even the Germans are building LNG storage to try to wean themselves off Russian gas.
Well, the Germans aren't trying to wean themselves off. They've come to an abrupt halt. They're in a very different situation to us. So we shouldn't compare ourselves to Germany, and just because they're building LNG facilities in Germany.
Okay, so where are we to get the gas? I mean...
So we are currently getting gas through. We have three interconnectors with the UK. Four, actually.
And we're depending on their good offices to persist.
Yeah, and that's where it's been. And we also have Corrib, by the way. Corrib has been extended for the next 10 years. There is a question around energy security of supply. The question is LNG the right kind of security of supply? There's other forms of energy storage. There's, of course, battery storage. There's pump storage. And hydrogen is actually going to be the major storage play of the future. And I think probably what will happen is we'll start to develop an underground hydrogen storage facility. And I certainly think we should be looking at existing infrastructure that we have, such as in Kinsale, which was closed in 2018. But there's other opportunities around the coast of Ireland as well for underground storage. So I think that is the big thing. And the offshore wind opportunity is perfectly coupled with the green hydrogen production opportunity.
I'm just wondering, though, because it seems to be a philosophical thing against the use of LNG because of fracking. You can buy non-fracked gas, but that only means the fracked gas goes somewhere else, doesn't it?
Fracking is incredibly destructive. Nobody, I think, would agree that we should have fracked LNG, but even LNG in itself, there's problems with it. Like the boil-off rate of LNG, for example, if you store LNG in a tank for a year, you lose 70% of it through boil-off. So it actually doesn't make sense. And even if
What do you mean boil-off? What happens?
So it evaporates essentially. And
through a tank?
It evaporates. So it's stored at minus 163 degrees Celsius. Any slight warming of the liquefied natural gas causes an evaporation.
So it vents. Does it automatically vent?
It essentially vents, and over the course of a year you lose 70% of it. And these floating regasification terminals that are talked about, one of those would really only supply Ireland's energy needs for a week.
So this was one of the ideas we had it on the program, where you'd use the platforms off Kinsale, for example. You'd have one of these floating platforms there, and it could deliver.
The platforms off Kinsale are gone. I think there's an opportunity with Kinsale with the caverns that are there. But the idea that you would have a floating regasification terminal,
turning LNG into gas
or at Cork Harbour, isn't realistic if we're talking about long-term energy storage.
Yeah, but it's the intermediate bit we're all a bit worried about.
There's an intermediate bit for gas, absolutely, but not LNG in the form of regasification terminals.
Okay, now Pat Keating is CEO of Shannon Foyn's Port. How do you see the role for Foyn's in all of this?
Good morning, Pat. Yeah, and I suppose as Brian said there, look, what we have on the Atlantic and very close to our shores is 70 gigawatts of green energy. That's a huge marketable product.
That's just gone up by 10 gigs from what he said. But anyway.
I suppose, we had a master plan review of our own potential. And in the long term, we can get up to 70. By 2050, it's up to 30.
So what would be done in Foyne's Port?
So basically, what we have is a fantastic resource. It's a green energy resource. But we have to harness that or engage that. So where the port comes in order to do that, you need very extensive port facilities, key enabling infrastructure, and also you need an offshore grid to bring that power ashore. So two vital enabling infrastructures before you'll see any floating offshore wind farms. They need to be in place first. That infrastructure needs to be in place first. So what Shannon Foyne's Port is all about, its harbour is the lower Shannon estuary, 500 square kilometres of deep water, sheltered water, to up to 31 metre drafts. These are all very important raw materials because of the scale of this is such that you need big port infrastructure. So our potential here is to build that deep infrastructure. And remember, we're very proximate to the resource, and that's critical.
Okay, so what would happen? I mean, these windmills are enormous, absolutely enormous.
Yeah.
So wherever they're manufactured, some bits of them might be manufactured locally, others might be imported.
So the intent is to manufacture or assemble the substructures, which are huge, which are the floating platforms, 20,000 ton weight. Then you bring in your blades, your towers, your nacelles, you assemble them on our proposed new deep water infrastructure at Foyne's Island. So that's an integration yard.
And do you then, float the whole thing out?
And then you wet tow it out. You float out, tow it out to the wind farm. And that's where the 70 came from. Within 36 hours, we've accessed the 70 gigawatts. And that's important because what you want to do is keep your cost of production of that electricity down as low as possible for the end consumer. So having your...
So you'd actually tow a windmill... Fully
assembled.
It would be using tugs or whatever.
Yeah.
It would be brought out to sea. How far out?
So we're looking at initially within 36 hours tow time at a rate of about 5 knots per hour, you can have that 70 gigawatts.
So you have to wait for your moment, like the launch of the Artemis. You wait for the weather window when you can get it out safely.
Absolutely, and that's where the strength of the Shannon Estuary comes to play because it's so close and it's so close to that that power resource, if you like. And because of weather windows and that robust nature of the Atlantic, you need to have that proximity.
And does the windmill, when it's going out, being towed out by the tugs, is it pulling a cable behind it that links up to
absolutely.
The grid?
Yes. So what would happen is you'll tow out your wind farm, you'll anchor it onto the seabed outside, and then you'll have your cables to bring the power ashore from the wind farm. And that's why the estuary, again, is so much suited to this, because you've got a lot of strong domestic grid initially to kickstart all of this at Money Point and Tarbert as well.
Now, it's very exciting, but are there takers for the provision of those windmills out at sea?
The interest, the entire sector is moving towards floating. The level of interest from big industry to transition into floating offshore wind is very, very significant. It's the future. We have to go there. We have net zero 2050 fast approaching. We have no choice. Floating offshore wind is seen as, and will be seen, or is seen by the end of this decade as potentially the most efficient renewable energy producer.
So finally, Pat, from Foyne's Port point of view, when do you go for planning? When will you have it built?
So our intention for the Foyne's Island, new Foyne's Island deep water jetty, an 800 metre jetty, is to go to planning by 2024 to have it built by 2028, which are aggressive timelines in our current planning regime. But as I said, net zero is fast approaching. Yeah. This enabling infrastructure has to be in place before we can actually start harnessing that wind.
Well, we are hoping that the minister will set up a separate planning agency for offshore wind, because it needs to be fast tracked. Yeah. There's no question about that. Pat Keating, CEO of Shannon Foyne's Port, and Brian Leddon, Green Party GD for Limerick City. Thank you both very much for joining us.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance.
Weekdays at 9 a.m. on News Talk.
Got an amazing business idea, but haven't locked in a domain name? Search Wix Domains and claim yours before someone else snags it. Your ideal.com, .net, .u is out there. Search Wix Domains and set your brand in motion.